Good to see you today. And to our guests, God bless you for coming, and we pray the Lord will give you a wonderful blessing. I trust that each of you had a very happy and joyful Thanksgiving. And now today, we are here to receive a word from the Lord. And our text is found in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. One of the greatest gifts of life is a gift of hope. When people lose hope, they lose a lot. The reason people mope, people grope, people dope, people choke, and yes, even use a rope, is because they have, in so many ways, lost hope. They have despaired of life, and all hope is gone. Hope is so important because it gives us the strength to cope and to deal with great adversity and disappointment. Dr. Harold Wolff was a professor at Cornell University in the School of Medicine. Some years ago, he did an extensive study on the subject of hope. He studied 25,000 prisoners of war over a period of time. He wanted to see if hope made any difference in their lives. He found one particular group in his extensive study that the experience of being a POW did not really affect them after they got out of that terrible experience at all. They simply picked up where they went on, left off with life. They didn't have any post-traumatic stress syndrome. They didn't get ill. They didn't have flashbacks. They just picked up where they left off and went on with life. He zeroed in on this particular group, and he found that the one common denominator in all of these men who did not suffer any ill effects of being a POW was that each and every one of them, no exceptions, each and every one of them had an extraordinary high level of hope. Hope makes all the difference in the world. It is absolutely necessary for facing hard times, great adversity in this life. And then Dr. Wolff concluded by saying this, and I quote, "When a man has hope, he is capable of bearing incredible burdens and cruel punishment. But when hope is gone, people fall apart emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Hope is extremely important to our mental, physical, emotional, psychological, and yes, spiritual well-being. Without hope, we're headed for despair. With it, we're headed for delight. Without hope, we're whiners. With it, we're winners. Without hope, we're going down. With hope, we're going up. Without hope, we're pessimistic. With hope, we're glowingly optimistic. From what I have discovered, you can go some 40 to 50 days without food. You can go some 3 to 5 days without water. You can go around 8 to 10 minutes without air. Because hope is so important, I don't believe that you can afford to go 1 second without hope in this life." Pearl Buck said this. She said, "To eat bread without hope is to slowly starve." Now, what do we mean by hope? Well, the New Testament word for hope means confident expectation. Now, our English word doesn't mean that. Many times we will use the English word hope and we're expressing doubt. We'll say something like this, "Well, I hope it turns out all right," or "I hope so." And we use the word hope to express a certain amount of doubt. The Greek word for hope means just the opposite. The Greek word elpizo, which is translated hope in the English, means confident, confident assurance, without any doubt whatsoever. The Hebrew word for hope means the same thing, but it carries the idea of waiting with expectation. This is why Isaiah 40:31 in the King James Version is translated, "They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength." But in other versions, including the NIV, it is translated, "They who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength." So the Hebrew word for hope is a combination of confident expectation, but with the idea that as a Christian, you may have to wait on God, which is a very hard thing to do for it to come to pass in your life. Some of you here today are, if the truth be known, at a low level when it comes to hope. You're running on empty when it comes to hope. As a matter of fact, you have all but lost hope because life has beaten you up and life has worn you down. If this is you, I want you to listen closely today, because the Word of God will tell us how we can renew our hope. There are three or four things about hope that I want you to consider today. First of all, let us notice the reasons for losing hope. The reasons for losing hope. Why do people lose hope? One, people lose hope because of the demands of survival. This human earthly life is full of struggle. The fact of the matter is, we come into this world struggling to get our first breath. This is why doctors, they still do it, but they used to hit a newborn baby on the backside to cause the baby to get his first breath. We come into life struggling to get our first breath, and we leave this life struggling to get our last breath. And there's a lot of struggle in between. In Job chapter 14 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." And then Job 5:7 says, "Man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward." In other words, just as sure as sparks come up from a fire, so you and I, as members of the fallen race of Adam, can expect to have a certain amount of struggle and adversity and difficulty in this life. And it can wear us down. The demands of survival, because life is so hard, can cause us to lose hope. Then the disruption of sadness can cause us to lose hope. Something happens, a tragedy, a family member, beloved husband, wife, parent, or child passes away. People, you see, can and do leave us. That's just the way it is. They may not want to go, and we may not want them to go, but they do. And that sadness and that grief can cause us to lose hope. And then the duties of service can cause us to lose hope. Have you discovered that human earthly life is full of routine? Think about it. We get up in the morning, go to work, come home in the evening, go to school, come home in the evening, eat supper, watch a little television, if you're a young person, do your homework, go to bed, and the whole thing starts over again and again and again. And the routine of life, just over a period of time, can wear us down. It can cause us to lose hope. I'll tell you something else can cause us to lose hope. The destruction of sin can cause us to lose hope. Sin, you see, is very exhausting to a human being made in the image and likeness of God. Oh, people think that they can sin and get away with it, but not so. Whatsoever you sow, you shall also reap. And there is a payday someday. And I've often said, if you are bound to sin, you are bound to suffer. And really and truly, the fact of the matter is, we don't break God's laws. They stand. We don't break them. We try. They stand. But here's what happens. We are broken when we pay no attention to God's Word and live life the way we want to live. The destruction of sin will cause people to lose hope. Then the designs of Satan will cause us to lose hope. We live in a fallen world, and in this fallen world, there are unseen forces of darkness that come at us. and fight us as Christians. Paul said, we wrestle. That means you fight, you struggle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me tell you something. If you know Jesus Christ and you follow Jesus Christ, you will have some encounters with the unseen forces of darkness. You say, Pastor, I don't know what you are talking about. Well, listen, if that's you, it just could be that you and the devil are going in the same direction. You turn around and you start following Jesus Christ, and boom, he'll come at you. I promise you. And people who just get saved, they need to understand that. Because he didn't hit those people who don't know him. He's already got them. He will hit you when you try to follow Jesus. And one of the reasons he will come at you and come at you hard is to cause you to lose hope and abandon your relationship to the Lord and go back to the old way of life. He wants you to do that, by the way. The reasons for losing hope. But not only the reasons for lost hope, the second thing I want to call your attention to is the restoration of lost hope. It's one thing to lose hope. It's quite another to get hope back. This is where the Lord comes in. Because it is the Lord, more than anything or anybody else, who can restore hope within us. Psalm 23 and verse 3, the Bible says this about the Lord. He restores my soul. That word restore means to renew. God is in the restoration and the renewal business. He just has a way of helping us. And one of the ways he helps us is to restore hope. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. And here in Isaiah 40 and verse 31, the King James says, wait. Other versions says, those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. Notice that word renew. In the Hebrew language, it literally means new growth after pruning or cutting. Life can cut you. Life can prune you way back. Sometimes it is the sharp knife of adversity. Sometimes it is the scalpel knife of pain. Sometimes it is the cold knife of grief and sorrow. And life comes at us and it cuts us. And the pain is tremendous and it hurts bad. I have a crepe myrtle bush at my house. It's near the house. I don't want it to grow too big, so I cut it back. Every year, about February. I mean, I cut it way back. There's been a time or two when, it almost just looks like a stub coming out of the ground. I think, I've done it this time. I cut it back too much. But you know what? Come July or so, everything has come back. The branches have come back. It is full of blooms and blossoms, and it is a beautiful crepe myrtle bush. And sometimes the Lord will let things come into our lives. But when we wait on the Lord and we hope in the Lord, listen, he has a way of renewing and restoring and refreshing us. Oh, there'll be seasons of barrenness and emptiness and drought. But if you wait with confident expectation in the Lord, the showers of blessing are coming. You know, we're living in Charleston, South Carolina, the latter part of 2016, and right now we have something of a drought. You wouldn't think so after all the rain we have with that hurricane, but it's getting sort of dry. But you know what? I hear it's going to rain next week. But we've got to wait on it. And you've got to wait on God. You wait on the Lord, the Bible says, you'll renew their strength. In John 15 and verse 2, Jesus talked about this. He said, every branch that is literally in him, he prunes that it may bear more fruit, much fruit. I'm sure if that little branch could talk, it would say to the vine dresser, leave me alone, don't bother me, just let me grow. But the vine dresser knows he's got to cut it back because he wants it to produce fruit down the line. Same thing is true with the Lord. He lets some things come into our life, and he uses all of these things to mold us into His image, to commit ourselves to Him and to follow Jesus, so that we then in turn will take on Christ-like qualities and characteristics. The Bible calls these things the fruit of the Spirit. Things that you don't have and I don't have on my own. Things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and meekness. We don't have any of these things on our own. So the Lord will prune some things out of us and replace those things with the fruit of the Spirit. The reasons for lost hope. The restoration of lost hope. Now the revelations of lost hope. And all of these revelations about getting our hope renewed are found in the Lord and about the Lord, because it is the Lord more than anything or anybody else who will restore hope to our lives. And the first truth is this: even in the midst of all your struggle, when it seems like all hope is gone, you and I need to remember that His presence is watching over us. There are many wonderful names for the Lord in the Old Testament. One, He is called Jehovah Shalom. That means, I am the God who gives you peace. Then He is called Jehovah Jireh. That literally means, I am the God who provides. Then He is called Jehovah Shammah. And Jehovah Shammah literally means, I am the God who is always there. David had this in mind in Psalm 39, verses 7 and 8, when he said, where can I go from your Spirit? He's talking to the Lord. Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. And in Psalm 23, in verse 1, the CEV translation, the Bible says, even though I walk through a valley as dark as death, I will not be afraid, because you, Lord, are with me. There are many uncertainties about this life. And one of the sad uncertainties about life is that people can and do leave us. I mentioned that earlier, and it is a fact. Sometimes because of job change, they just have to move away. Other times, because of problems, parents and children or family members may be alienated. Husbands and wives may separate, or they may get a divorce. And then, of course, there are times when our loved ones die. Husbands die, wives die, parents die, children die, grandparents, friends die, brothers and sisters in Christ die. People can and do leave us, you see. We don't like for them to go. We don't want them to go. And many times they don't want to go. But folks, there is an appointment that we all have to make if Jesus tarries. And it is the appointment of death, the Bible says. It's got to come. And it will happen. This is why your first allegiance in this life should never, ever be another human being. Because people can and do leave us. Don't ever make an idol out of another person, a mate or a child or a parent. Because people can and do and will leave us. And then when they go, you're completely devastated. God has to be first. My wife and I, we've been married over 43 years. We've had an understanding all of these years. You know what it is? I'm going to play second fiddle in her life. She's going to play second fiddle in my life. You know why? We want Jesus to play first fiddle in our lives. It works pretty good, folks. And one of the reasons we made that commitment a long time ago is because people can and do leave us. But while people leave us, there is one who will never, ever leave you. It's the Lord. Hebrews 13:5, the Lord says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And for those of us who are involved in His kingdom enterprise, Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Let me put it like this. Friends may forsake you, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Family members may leave you, though they may not want to leave. But God has called them to a better place, and they have to go. People will leave us, but God says in His Word, I will never, ever leave or forsake you. His presence is watching over us. Now, number two, the second truth you need to get is His power is working for us. Notice Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Oh, I love this passage. Isaiah, the entire chapter, one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. You're weary? Listen. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. We got any young people here today a little sleepy? Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. Now listen. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. You know what He's saying? He's saying the Lord cares for you. And if necessary, the Lord can and the Lord will move heaven and earth to help you. Or in this chapter, the great prophet Isaiah talks about the greatness and the goodness of God. Notice what Isaiah 40 in verse 12, and he's speaking about the oceans and the rivers. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? You know what God thinks about the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, the Indian Ocean, and all the oceans, just like a little drop of water in the palm of His hand. Notice what He says about the great nations of the earth in Isaiah 40, 15. Surely the nations are as a drop in a bucket. Let's put this in a modern perspective. You know what God thinks about China with its great army? You know what God thinks about England with its great monarchy? France with its great culture? Japan with its great technology? America with its great economy, though some say it's not so great anymore? You know what God thinks about all of the great nations of the earth? Not so much. He says they're all like a little drop of water dropping into a bucket. Let me ask you this. What does God think about great world leaders? Kings, princes, presidents, dictators. Not too much. Notice what Isaiah 40, 23 says. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. Scientists now tell us that our universe contains billions and trillions of stars. I heard a radio commercial a while back, and it said that for a certain amount of money, you can have a star named after you or someone else. Now I know what I'm going to get Pastor Joe for Christmas. You can pay the fee, and there's so many stars, like sands on the seashore. At least in that register, you can have a star named after you, they say. But you know what? Is Johnny come lately? Because the Lord God's already numbered them, and He's already named them, every one. Notice Isaiah 40 and verse 26. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens who created all these. He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name. Do you see what the Bible is saying? The Bible is saying the true and the living God, the great eternal unseen God, is all powerful and He is almighty. And before Him, the great oceans of the earth are like a drop of water in His hand. The nations are like a drop of water in a bucket. The mountains are like a dust on a scale. Don't have time to get into it today. But you know what God thinks about the Himalayas and the Alps and the Rocky Mountains? Just like a little bit of dust on a ruler. And the stars that no one can number are not only numbered by God. The Bible says they have each one been given a name by God. Isaiah tells us about the greatness of God. But then he goes on and tells us about the goodness and the gentleness of God. Because notice what he says in verse 11. He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms and He carries them close to His heart. He gently leads those that have young. You know what this means? The great, almighty, omnipotent God not only created this world, He cares for this world. And especially does He care for the people of this world. The Bible says, not a sparrow falls without the Father knowing it. And you are more valuable than sparrows. And the Bible says the very hairs on your head are numbered by God. In a practical sense, let me tell you what this means. It means that the God who holds the oceans of the earth in one hand will hold your tears in another when you are so distressed. It means that the one who says that the great mountain range is like the Alps and the Andes and the Rockies are like dust on a ruler, if necessary, can move mountains to help you in your time of need. It means that the one who brings down the high and mighty will also lift up the meek and lowly. And he says to us, even when a loved one dies, even as he said to Mary and Martha of old, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Do you need your hope renewed and restored today? Remember these truths about God. His presence is watching over us. His power is working for us. And then His promise is witnessing to us. Notice again verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. The Lord's making some promises to you if you will hope in the Lord. If you will wait on the Lord with confident expectation that God will keep His word and bring it to pass. He makes some promises to you. And folks, we may go back on our promise. Let me tell you something. God never goes back on His promises. Let me tell you what He promises to do. One, He promises to give us soaring power. Verse 31 says, they will soar on wings like eagles. You know how an eagle flies? An eagle will jump off the side of a cliff with this great gigantic wingspan. It will spread those wings and it will catch the updrafts of the wind, and then that eagle will soar up into the heavenlies that God intended for it. In like manner, you and I can spread our wings of faith and we can catch the updrafts of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to be earthbound, but we can reach the heights that God intended for us. Your house is like my house. We had turkey on Thanksgiving Day. And many of you like me maybe ate a little bit too much turkey on Thanksgiving Day. I don't know a lot about turkeys, but I do know this. Turkeys are made primarily for eating and not for flying. That's why some of them are called butterballs, right? Turkeys are made for eating and not flying. Listen, eagles are not made for eating. Eagles are made for flying. You and I, we don't have to be like an earthbound turkey groveling around in the dust and the dirt of the devil's barnyard. The Bible says we can spread our wings of faith and we can soar to the heights that God intended. God says, if you wait on me, I'll see to it that you do this. He promises soaring power. Then He promises surging power. He says, they shall run and not grow weary. Now this has to be in the spiritual sense, because in the physical sense, who ever heard of a runner, even the best of runners, even the most physically fit runner, going on and never getting tired? You see, these physical bodies, what the Bible says, they don't last forever. Everything on this earth, you discover, is temporal. Everything eventually wears out. Cars, TVs, computers, human bodies. Everything on this earth is temporal. We experience the aging process. Every few years, every gene in your body is replaced with another gene, and that gene that replaces the other gene is just a little bit older and a little bit weaker than the one it replaced. That's how we have the aging process in life. And people eventually do get old, and these physical bodies do wear out. But I've got some good news for you as a child of God. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16 says that while the outward man is perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day. He promises soaring power. He promises surging power. And then He promises staying power. Notice what He says here again in verse 31. They will walk and not faint. Let me tell you something about the Christian life. The Christian life is not to be lived in a leap or a sprint or a run or a jog. The Christian life is to be lived in a walk, a daily walk with the Lord. Time and time again, the Word of God admonishes us to walk with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith and not by sight. Galatians 5:16 says that we're to walk in the Spirit. Ephesians 5:2 says we're to walk in love. 1 Thessalonians 4:1 says we are to walk in such a way as to please God. 1 John 1:7 says if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Folks, I've been saved over 45 years now. May I tell you, there is no substitute whatsoever for a daily and consistent walk with the Lord. I have learned in these 45 years of my spiritual journey, was saved when I was 19 years of age. I have learned that I, as a Christian, need to walk with God. And now, it's not something that I have to do, a privilege I get to do. I want to walk with God. And I have learned something else. In my 45 plus years of knowing the Lord, I've learned this. I like walking with God. That old gospel song is true, I've learned. It says, oh, how sweet to walk in the pilgrim way. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus. The reasons for lost hope, the restoration of lost hope, the revelations of lost hope. Now, one other thing very briefly. And that is the response to lost hope. What is to be your response when life has dealt you a heavy blow? And at least in some ways it seems like you've lost hope. Listen, your response is faith. Notice Romans 15 and verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope. That word abound literally means to overflow. Abound, overflow in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what he's saying? He's saying that faith is the mother of hope and hope is the child of faith. He's saying that you've got to continue to trust God and stay committed to God even when you don't understand. For we walk by faith and not by sight. You've got to stay committed to God and walk with God even when people, situations, or circumstances of the devil would tell you to turn your back on God and walk away. That's what faith is. Faith pleases God and God honors faith. And the result of that commitment of faith in your life to God will be a renewal of hope in your life. Oh, how we need hope today. Not just a little hope, but big hope. I heard of a Baptist church one time, and it had this name, Little Hope Baptist Church. I think they could have come up with a better name than that, don't you? Folks, we don't need little hope. We need big hope. And we can have big hope when our faith and our trust is in the Lord. Songwriter said this, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. You see, God and God alone can and will restore our hope. Now let's pray together. We thank you so much, dear Lord, for this opportunity to come together with these, our friends, many brothers and sisters in Christ. Some, Lord, are weighted down with heavy burdens. Some have all but lost hope. I pray the Holy Spirit would move in their hearts today. Dear Holy Spirit, you're welcome here to do your work. I pray that you would move and stir and challenge and inspire all of us, especially those that need hope renewed. And we ask that you do it for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to have our gospel invitation. Of course, this has been a message to believers today. What I've been saying to you, if you don't know Jesus, it's not going to work. You need Christ in your life. Then it'll work. And you come to God in repentance and faith. And when you do that, the Lord saves you and then the promises of God concerning hope, and for that matter, everything else will apply to you as you commit your life to following Jesus day by day. If you're here without Him, you come and give your life to Him. You'll be glad that you did. Burdens are lifted at Calvary through the cross in Jesus our Lord. Then maybe as a Christian, you've just about lost hope. Life has beaten you up, worn you down. You need to come and just maybe need to pray. Someone pray with you. Recommit your life to the Lord by faith and ask the Lord to restore hope in your life. Maybe you need to come join with us, move your letter, come for a baptism. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to come. Let's stand together now as we sing. I'll be standing here to receive you.